Welcome to another episode of the Black Sheep Perspective. Gene Harden. Gene Harden is back in the motherfucking building. Gene Harden, welcome back, baby. What's going on?
We was trying to figure out the last time I was here. So it's only been 3 years?
3 years. Yeah. 3 years. I mean, you know, YouTube says three. It could be three plus. It's not going to say, you know, as far as like half or quarter. But yeah, it's been.
So it's about time. Pretty much, that's what I'm saying.
Fuck yeah. Yes,
welcome.
It is.
It's about time.
Yeah, yes it is, man. Shit, back 3 years. What can we flash back with in 3 years? This is post-COVID. Post-COVID, somewhere around 21, right? So.
Shit.
A lot has happened since.
Shit.
A lot has happened since.
What's going on in my world?
Yeah, likewise over here, man. Yeah. I mean, I think worldwide, man, who hasn't really been through something? I mean, everybody who went through COVID, I guess unless you were wealthy and it never really, you know, shook you, everybody got shook in some shape or fashion.
No. Even if you was wealthy.
I would assume. I don't know.
COVID, for the first time, COVID leveled the playing field for a lot of people and a lot of businesses.
That's actually very true. I was not even thinking like that. That's accurate as fuck.
You know what I'm saying?
Like
we all.
Business owners got hit the hardest, right?
Everybody got leveled.
It's true.
To ground zero when COVID happened. You can't go out. You can't promote. You can't interact. So social media saved a lot of people.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about COVID? You know when how people unite during tough times, right? Hurricanes, natural disasters, crazy shit like 9/11, things of that, you know, bombings, terrorist attacks, whatever. People unite, you get more prideful, more American, more, you know, whatever it is. I don't see color, I don't see race. That didn't happen during COVID. There was a lot of separation during COVID, a lot. Because it was like, how dare you not wear a mask?
So that kind of separation?
Yeah.
There
wasn't no uniting, like there was nothing to unite about. Everybody was still puzzled as to like, what the fuck just happened? What's happening? Is it going to happen again? When? Is it real? Is it not? It's like, there was a whole, and then there's divide going on. And
yeah, but when in the history of life was there not that divide? Like, if this, got something to argue about on every turn.
Yeah.
So you're going to, there's nothing that happened in this world that you're going to have a unanimous.
Yeah, but I'm saying, again, the reference is people will you come together during tough times in order to, you know, become stronger and because they're more sympathetic of each other because we're all going through
9/11.
Right, exactly. And I know I felt it firsthand during Hurricane Andrew here in South Florida, August 24th. You'll never forget it if you've been through it, 1992. And we saw people uniting that I've never seen right there in the hood. You know, I grew up right there in the hood. And blacks, Latinos got together in a way that I've never seen, and then whites got involved, and all the voluntary food that was being given, and people helping other people's houses rebuild or cover them up. Like, never seen that before, you know, my whole upbringing. And things like that, you know, it's touching. It reminds you, you know, about the good that we have in us, that the possibility that we have in us.
Yeah, so wait, you saying that you didn't see that at all during COVID?
Nah.
Well,
and I'm not trying to argue it, but I would like for you to tell me, if you think differently, where did you see it?
First of all, COVID was the disease the virus in itself was a separator. Like it forced you physically to be apart and to separate and to divide. 6 feet. Mask,
yep.
No contact,
yep.
Wash.
Yep. Yep.
So
yep.
It was already training our brains. I don't give a fuck who you are. Like, yo, stay away from me.
Right.
But then, I guess from your point of view, you saying, add to that racism or sexism or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? That starts getting thrown into the mix when you see somebody, you at the store.
Like just think about all the
you
viral.
See somebody, like, they see you with a mask, but they black. But they act more funny because they white. I get that part, but like COVID in itself was already a separator. It just separated human beings from contact and made us whack.
Yeah, it really did.
It made us whack, you know, towards each other.
I remember the best part about COVID was when, in the very, very beginning, when it first happened and we were all shut down, like almost no one was going anywhere except grocery stores pretty much. And then first responders. I remember I took a drive to the beach and I took the scenic route. I took Old Cutler, which is a beautiful back route, one laner, that wraps around the closest you can to the shorelines of Miami as it gets into Key Biscayne and so on and so forth. And anyhow, people from Miami know that drive. It's a beautiful drive. And I took that drive, and there's certain parts where you see your joggers and your bike riders because it's very canopied by a bunch of beautiful trees that have been growing for, you know, multiple years. Man, I've never seen so many motherfucking people outside walking their dogs, jogging with their families, pushing cars.
During COVID?
Right after. I'm talking about in the heat of it.
Oh. So you never seen that many more people
out? They were stuck at home.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they knew that they needed to get out. I've never seen that many. You would have thought there was some type of like marathon or event going on
on both sides
of walkers, joggers, bikers, pushers, skaters, you name it. That was a good thing. And all I thought was, you motherfuckers should be doing this weekly.
On a regular.
Yeah. Well, you had to be forced into the house with this scare and all this, you know, riffraff going on to bring that out of you, you know? So that's the only thing that I saw.
Fast forward now, watching Spring Break break down these cities. These kids is out here wilding. You been
wilding out? Yeah. Shit, you stay over there in Broward. We were briefly talking about it. That, you know, Miami, man... This is a touchy subject. I'm glad you brought that up. This is a touchy subject because as Miamians, especially those of us who like to go to the beach or like to go to the boardwalk in Broward, go to Las Olas, go to South Beach, go, you know, things of that nature, these spring breakers fucked it up for our city in so many different ways. And people want to act like, oh, those people in Miami, those people in Florida, they're wilding out, they're this and that. That's not us doing it. Now, granted.
It ain't just us.
And I know that they're involved in there, and I know. But it's them. It's spring breakers. Of course they're going to wild out. They don't give a fuck. They're leaving in a couple of days.
Listen, it's easier to, like, put a whole blanket on spring breakers, right? Uh-huh. But there's just a lot of whack people that be coming down to Florida and, like, just...
They want to cut up when they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the place for it.
You been to Vegas before?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember when I went to Vegas for the first time. One of the wildest things that I vividly remember was, and there's not many times you can say this unless you go to concerts, okay? Maybe fights, sporting events. When you feel this amount of energy, you know, when you go to those events, if you go to a fight event, you feel that energy level is different because people want to see violence. People are already kind of nervous. They're anxious. They're this, they're that. And this is just, woo, fucking feels great, bro. You go to football, it's a little bit different, you know? Mm-hmm. You're kind of more cockier. You're like, man, we're going to stomp a mud hole in this fucking team and so on and so forth. When you get to Vegas, at least for my first time, you sense it the minute you're in that atmosphere, dog. When that plane touches down, you sense sex, drugs, fucking gambling. You just sense, I'm going to wild the fuck out while I'm here.
And everybody's going to encourage that shit.
And of course, and we've all been fed the commercials, obviously. You know what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas, and you see these wild-ass commercials of these chicks wilding out or shit like, what's it called, the movie, the comic movie with Zach.
Hangover.
You know, shit like that. It's already embedded in your brain in some shape or form. So, of course, placebo effect, you're going to get there thinking it, envisioning it, and then feeling it. I get that.
But do you still feel that? Now going back to Vegas,
almost, man. And I used to go a lot.
I don't go.
Yeah, I get it. Right,
I stopped going because like
energy is a real thing. If you take your black ass to somewhere in fucking middle Wisconsin where it's just townspeople chilling, even though I hope it goes good for you,
I'm comfortable.
The
there.
Energy is different over there. They're all so laid back. You're gonna feel those energy waves. You're not gonna go there and feel all kind of. Or unless you go to a Green Bay Packer game.
Unless you bring that energy.
Ooh, that's true, of course.
I carry that light everywhere.
Do you really believe in that, though? Do you really believe in the energy waves that can be sensed? It can be thrown at somebody, and it can be sensed by people.
100%.
You do? Okay.
And you know, I say it like that because I really wasn't that dude before. Like, it used to be, like, fluff to me listening to people talk about energy and...
Fluff, I like that terminology.
You know,
okay,
that's what it used to seem like to me.
Okay,
like meditation and all that.
Yeah.
So like, I ain't about that life. Let me give me my meat. Let me eat, you know, I was a carnivore, you know what I'm saying? So, like give me my foods, let me drink my beers and do whatever. But, like, I thought all that stuff was fake until I had to go through situations, you know what I'm saying? And then I was like, oh, wow, this is real out here. Like, it's, like, energy is real. Like, you could feel it. You could pass it. And if you don't harness it good, it's just going to be, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
I'll go off on a tangent on that shit, but, like.
And it's not that we know it. We don't know a definitive answer, but scientific theories, research, studies, there's a whole lot of shit out there that definitely proves in favor of, energy waves that are sent and mm-hmm. given off by all kinds of different things. Have you ever, if you want to talk some nerdy shit, you ever seen shit on plants and the type of sound waves and how it affects them and all kind of shit?
Not exactly, but whatever you tell me, I'm about to believe it.
Bruh, so they have this healthy plant, and I'm going to fucking totally murder this, so please nobody, hold this against me. Yeah. I saw kind of like a little docuseries, okay? So these plants, you put in this room, and they actually are in a room that was made for them, which they soundproofed it and everything, right? So they put them in there, and they're trying, they put all kind of sensory, things that will monitor the soil, mm-hmm. the leaves. They got high definition cameras, 4K on them in case they wither a little bit.
This for regular plants or weed?
No, plants. Regular plants. But they do think it's very, universal, meaning plants have lives. They sense, they hear, they react, they have emotions, they do all that. So they put all these little, sensory things, like if you're on some EKG machine type shit. Yeah. And they're recording all the, what they could, whatever the fuck it is that they're recording, a heartbeat, I don't know, whatever. Dude, then they will play music. And they'll play different types of music to see how it responds. And it responded differently to all different music. Then they put up somebody in there and they said, say nothing but nice things to the plant. And say it, but you say it and mean it so that it gets your energy. It's not just hearing words, because now you're assuming that this plant understands the English fucking language. No, it's more about the energy. Ultimately, that's what they were talking about. It wasn't about the words.
Right.
It was that if I say it, I'm meaning it. If I'm saying it, I'm really feeling it. So tell it how beautiful it is, how much you love it, how this, you want to water it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Recorded it, boom. Then what came back later on, then they cussed the fucking thing out. I swear to God, dog. Cussed it out, said all kind of evil shit. This thing reacted differently to every little thing that was done.
Over time, or this was like an instant reaction?
No, most of it was like semi, not instant, but like, yeah, like very reactive. Not like...
But like over how much time?
I don't know. I don't want to mess it up. Somewhere between 30 seconds to 2 minutes at most. Somewhere there they started seeing some type of... It wasn't the next day or something that. No. And they had people behind the fucking cameras watching it the whole time. It was crazy interesting, bro. And yeah, man, that's one of those things that definitely helps me believe that energy waves and all that shit is real and everything can sense it.
But also what you say.
Yeah, exactly.
What you say you carries put in a it, lot yeah. of weight.
Yeah.
And like, people underestimate that.
I was guilty of that too, bro.
We all are.
I was, I literally just started changing that like a month ago. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to stop. I saw even clowning, you shouldn't say anything negative about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and let's say you just said something like, yeah, man, I'm stubborn as fuck. Sometimes I'm just really hard-headed like that. I need to bump my head against the wall a couple of times before, I realize, something better for me. No, don't say that. Don't talk like that. Because even though you think it's nothing, it's a joke, like you taking that deep breath, but really, there's a lot of theory that supports that shit will affect you in all the wrong ways.
Cool. But this is what I think. I think it's okay, well, for me, let me tell you what works for me. Like, if that's what it is, I'll say it to myself.
Okay.
Like, I'll have one of those one-on-one conversations in the mirror, and we'll just talk. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Nobody's listening, or everybody's listening, however you want to look at it. If God's listening to the universe, whatever you believe in or don't believe in. But I've had conversations with myself that has just been so, I kept it so, so a buck with myself, you know what I mean? Talking about everything. So that's not me necessarily conforming to, like, say I'm talking to myself in the mirror, like having a heart-to-heart, and I say I'm stubborn. That's not like an admittance of like defeat. It's just an acknowledgement. All right, that's something I want to work on. It is what it is. It's the truth of it, if that's what, you know, whatever it is you say about yourself. But that's something I want to work on. So, you know what I mean?
So it's great that you said that all on your own, and I didn't want to interrupt. You're 100% correct. The two or three gurus, psychologists, whatever, that were talking about this topic, about saying it and what it does, they actually said that that's the way to do it, the right way. So if you were going to say that the way you did, but you're saying it in order to, you're following it with the suggestion of, okay,
the solution.
Yes. I need to work on this because what just occurred was hard-headed. There I was being hard-headed again, and that's not good. That gave me bad results. And because of that, I need to acknowledge that and I need to work on it. What was it I did wrong? Okay, at that point it's good because you're going in, I don't want to say with a solution, but yeah, you're going in strategically versus just throwing it out there and that having an effect on you psychologically, put into the universe, right. All that stuff.
And I also don't say it in front of other people.
Okay, that's I like that. I like that.
Those conversations are my personal conversations.
Right.
Okay? Whether it's audible or not, even if I'm just, you know, having a meditation and just thinking in inside, I'm not talking down about myself to other people. Because they don't know the work I'm doing right now. They don't know the process I'm in. So they just hear me say, oh, I'm stubborn. They take it as what I said. And they start formulating their opinion
That's right.
of me off of what I said of me.
That's right, brother.
So yep. I don't talk like that in front of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a damn good point, man. And you know, it's funny, it makes me think when we were kicking it that last time up until now, look how soft the world has gotten. And you
here go the
you
here we go.
Oh no, I want to hear the noise that the lure makes as it splashes through the water. What kind of lure are you working with?
That's
oh, you just waited.
Come on, bring it in.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those topics, obviously. We know that. Gene, you're a comedian. Mm-hmm. This shit hits you guys a lot harder than it hits a lot of us because your world is just saying outlandish shit, not being able to get offended by shit, being able to deliver and to take it as well. Being able to, as free speech as you can imagine, that's what you guys live off of. And now the pussification of this goddamn world and this generation of whatever you want to call them, youngsters, it's, you know, it has a certain role on, you know, you guys. You guys can get banned easier. You guys can get canceled easier. People are more touchy. They're softer. You know, you shouldn't say certain things. Like, where are you at with that?
Listen,
as a comedian?
All that shit did was expose capitalism at its best. All this shit come down to is money. That's all that is. Like, people are afraid to say the same things they've been saying for whatever reason, for however long. They just don't say it no more or shouldn't say it no more because it's going to affect the bottom line of some bigger picture.
Somebody who has a bigger agenda.
Well, everybody got a bigger agenda. But
the person who's paying the most.
Whoever paying for it.
Right.
Whoever got the bread.
Right.
So if me saying whatever I say is going to affect the people that are buying this product, then they're going to pull the plug. Oh, you can't say that no more. Wait, the same thing we've been saying for 100 years, however long. Like, now shit is different because money is what's moving it all. So I ain't tripping about, like, how different things are, how much softer people. See, people are soft because now everything is recorded. Everything can be seen. So, you know, people don't want to be documented for eternity as saying some shit that they might have either thought that one time.
Right.
Or said in the heat of the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, so now that's what's really the thing. Like, nobody, because once it's down.
Yeah, once it's recorded, that's it. You can't get away from it.
And now you got a lot of explaining to do. That's why these politicians are having an even harder time than they ever did. Because now your shit is exposed. Whatever you said, your homie, you said that 20 years ago, but now you're doing this for this election. Sound different. You sound different. So I don't really trip about that. Like, I mean, I say some things, man, on stage. I be saying some shit.
Like, you look back on and you're like, damn.
Nah, but I know my intention.
Okay.
Like, my shit don't be like to offend people or make people mad. Nah, I'm lying. It be offensive, right? But it ain't to make people mad. It's just to make people look or see another perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
That's all it is. Like, that's the only reason why we all here, to impart our perspective on things. Why does your opinion matter? Where does it matter? How much does it matter? You know? And so that's all it is. Like, nobody's going to be better. We never going to have the right president.
Because there's always going to be somebody.
We're never going to have the right situation for the world.
It'll never be euphoric. It'll never be a there'll never be a time where we're all going to agree on the same thing. It's not going to happen.
Who even wants that time?
Yeah, you know, exactly. That makes us all the same.
Even wants that time? Where is creation going to come from if we ain't different?
Right. And obviously, pun intended, you're talking to a black sheep, you know? Yeah. So, like, I agree with you. We don't have to have all the same, you know, but we got to respect. We got to respect it.
But then that word respect is used loosely. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? When somebody disrespects or respect.
Right.
I just think no matter the difference of somebody's opinion, how you put it out there makes the change, makes the difference. You know what I'm saying? Like,
meaning how you present the argument, how you present it.
Like, if you just coming from a good place, now the power of no, I use that shit a lot, right?
Okay.
I exercise it a lot.
Okay.
Like, if I'm with a shorty and she's saying something crazy I don't co-sign.
Right.
I'll be like, nah, that ain't working for me. You know what I'm saying? But we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, so we don't say no. Or if they ask me an honest opinion or an honest question and I say, nah, I don't like that. That don't look good. I don't feel bad no more because that's just my opinion. I ain't saying it to hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my truth. And once we get over that, we stop getting so personal about somebody else's no, we'll start accepting the difference.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So you think that society, in a way, one of the things that affects us is that people have been like yes men. They refrain from being honest enough and straight up enough where it allows others to think more of what they are, what they're achieving, what their thoughts are, how egotistical they should be. Because you're saying like no, okay, when you say practicing the no factor, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. You're pretty much saying as in better comes when you know you have your parameters to say no more often, right?
100%.
Okay. So if that's the opposite of what most people do, which it is, mm-hmm. I think it's kind of safe to say then that's probably why we have so many issues nowadays in society, along with an array of shit. But one of the things is because people aren't being straight up enough. They're not being honest enough. Instead of saying no, they're saying the yes, which is the same. To me, it's comparable to you're signing off on it, right? You say you're not signing off on something. Well, if you don't go against it, then you're signing off on it. That's no versus yes. Well, I think that's equal to people are just going along with shit, meaning you're fat, but I don't want to tell you fat. I'm going to tell you you're beautiful, girl. That type of shit, you know? That, to me, is saying yes and not no. You get what I'm saying?
So,
you get what I'm getting at with
so
that?
You saying that more chicks should be calling out their fat friends.
1,000%. And I'm not making this about fat girls, but I'm just talking about friends on friends.
Right, right, right.
Friends on friends. You should be straight up with them. But again, you said earlier, and I agree because I say this all the time, it's all about your delivery, though. If you don't deliver that, whatever it is you're trying to point out to a friend, to a lover, to a family member, whatever you're trying to suggest, you need to deliver that the right way. If not, it falls on deaf ears, and you're not going to get anywhere. So if you deliver it correctly, yes, I think everybody should be way more blunt The whole cliche as fuck. Honesty is the best policy. But, that is the truth. Multiply that. That's the truth. It's brutal honesty. Listen, it's brutal honesty is the best policy.
I'm down for the honesty, right? But the catch is, you saying it like, because she's fat. No. Let me not put that. Let me not put those words in your mouth. Because I don't want to play that kind of devil's advocate.
Okay.
Look, I ain't going in that.
Yeah, I'm already going to get hate from a few people. I don't need.
Right. I ain't trying to swing it that way. But I was just thinking, like, when I see it, like, all right, she fat. Like, she could still be fat right there. Like, she got every right to be around and down and chilling, you know
yes.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
But she fat. Right? Like, it's not a point of me trying to be mean or you trying to be mean or people, unless they are. And that's something different. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is until you make it something else. And I think that's the difference.
Listen here, folks. Winter is amongst us. Spring's still a couple of months away. I know you guys are feeling this cool breeze. Why don't you go to blacksheepapparel.shop and go cop you some of the dopest sweaters, hoodies, long sleeve shirts, and everything else you can imagine to make you look fly for this season. Or maybe you're just getting ready for the summer or the spring. We got shorts, we got tank tops, we got it all. Make sure you go visit blacksheepapparel.shop to get the flyest gear and to remind the world that you're a proud black sheep. Now let's get back to the podcast. Something else that been going on heavy since the last time that we saw each other. Is the UFO phenomenon, man. Where are you at with that shit?
Nowhere?
What do you mean? You don't give a fuck? Or you don't believe in it? Or you just don't care?
None of those things.
Let me just warn you. That this is a touchy for me, all right?
That's fine. Let me be touchy.
All right, go ahead.
It's going to be what it is. I don't pay attention to it. Like, if...
It doesn't fascinate you at all? Anything having to do with UFOs?
So that's the thing. It doesn't not fascinate me. You know what I mean? Like... Because I got other things I have to do, like if you present some information, like you're about to, I'm sure.
No, not really.
But
no.
I mean, as you should though.
Okay.
Because I really don't be knowing. I don't follow up on it. It ain't enough for me to, like, if I see it or hear about it on the news, cool, that's a story. But like, it don't move me in no way.
I get that.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know enough about it. I ain't seen enough about it. But I'm also not disinterested. So when people tell me some shit. Or if I see it on the news, whether it looks fake or it don't, like, I don't discount it. I just, like I said, I ain't out there searching for that info.
What's something that does get Gene Hardy's attention? I mean, you're well rounded in a whole lot of shit, and that comes a lot with comedians. Mm-hmm. But what is something? What are some odd shits that get your attention? Like, you know, stupid example: fishing or fucking scuba diving or parachuting or gun ranging or like. What are some odd things that you like to do that not a lot of people don't know about?
Like, yo, I like music. I like creating music.
Yeah.
I got a piano in my house. I got two guitars. I don't know how to play none of them.
You trying to though?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Nah.
No.
Nothing is difficult actually if you just focus.
Yeah, you can pull it off, right, of course.
Right, But in trying all these things, what I'm really working on is the focus. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people be getting caught up. Like, I'm one of them dudes who, like, I can't start a workout program unless I got every bit of equipment that I think I need for the joint.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I got to go get the right sneakers, the right equipment, the right weights, all that stuff, right? The algorithms on social media will see you look into something, men over 40 workout programs. Then you start getting bombarded with those same joints.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, but like, how many people out there like me subscribe to a few of them joints? You know what I'm saying? The meal plan, the workout joint, mad subscriptions. And it hit me one time like, oh, I'm not really paying for the better program, the better outfit, the better workout regimen. I was trying to pay for the focus, and I can't pay nobody for that because nobody else gonna provide it but me.
Right. So you think doing all that helped remind you to focus, stay focused?
It's the only thing that I can do that no one else can do. If I focus on what I have to do, my job, my goal, whatever it is. Once I focus on it, then like nothing is hard. So if I put that focus into like learning that piano and learning music, yo, I'll be nice.
Right, right.
So I'm trying to, I'm working on that.
I like that. You know, when you challenge your mind to learn a new skill, from my understanding, your brain is now in like absorbing form. It's now very sensitive to information because you're training it to do something. It's there. It's kind of like if I'm training for a fight, my awareness is a lot sharper, right? I'm about to go into a fight. Or if I train MMA, my awareness is a lot sharper because I'm always training to dodge and slip and whatever. So my awareness is a lot sharper than the average person because it's something that I do. So when you do something like that that's challenging for you mentally and physically, it opens you up to absorb skills and do that. I that's how I take what you're saying, and I think that that's a good benefit from it, even if you haven't gone too far in any individual skill. At least you're zoned in on that. On that note, something that you have been zoned in on, you have this new thing coming out, right, that you've been doing that's called Hey Doc.
Hey Doc.
Hey Doc. Hey as in hey, and then doc as in D-O-C, as in like you're talking to a doctor. Mm-hmm. This obviously, to me, has been new. And I love it. I love every bit of it. But there's a little bit more behind it than just, you know, some type of a segment or skit. Whatever skit, you know, that you want to call it. Tell us a little bit about that. I want people watching because you've had some viral videos that have hit over 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. Mm-hmm. And you're still fresh in this. But it's just awesome. How did it come about? And tell us a little bit about it.
So a lot of people have ideas. I had a lot of ideas. Some of the joints I wrote down, and this was one of them. But then I started going through some real tragic things past few years. So therapy was definitely like on the forefront. And then, but then comedy still was like, you know, part of my mission. So anyway, I finally just got it together, and I focused, and I put this thing out called Hey Doc, where it's just me. Finally, one, getting online, and two, kind of getting some of my ideas out there. Jokes that I wrote before, just ideas that I had, whatever. And so I just, you know, stopped being soft and finally just got over my eyes and started doing this shit. And like, whatever, it just started taking off. A couple of videos kind of took off, but I still got a lot more to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just now scraping the surface. It's new to me.
So it's you talking to
me,
to you, but it's also hypothetically you talking to what, a doctor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist of some sort, and you're telling them some type of issue you're dealing with.
I'm talking to my psychiatrist,
right? And then you're answering how you think they would, or you're answering in a way of, you know, you mix it up.
I answer it so sometimes the therapist would lead the conversation. Mm-hmm. If there's something I think he wants to get off his chest. So, you know, it depends on what the mood I'm in. Depends on what the point, the joke I'm trying to get off or whatever. I create them sometimes right there, or sometimes I just write them down and I'll know beforehand what I'm going to talk about. Sometimes I freestyle.
And the viral ones, what how many did they, millions did they hit?
Yeah, the one that hit, so the first one that went viral was like when the one about fat vegans. I don't know if you saw that one.
No.
I went out with this girl who was fat, she was a vegan, it was confusing to me. And so you gotta watch that. I got a lot of shit for that.
Okay.
That was the first one. Then the next one.
And what number did that hit?
That was the first one that kind of went like 220,000.
Okay.
And
this is only Instagram. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I put on everything. It's on TikTok, a couple on YouTube, but I guess because I ain't putting that focus in,
mm-hmm.
I'm not moving.
Right,
like that.
What we're talking about, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not moving like that, but Instagram is pushing it. And then the next one, next two that went to like, what, 3.1 million. And I forgot the other numbers, but anyway, just new shit, just like funny shit. Just, you know, thoughts in my brain that like, I be thinking, all right, this might be funny. Some of them is crazy, outlandish, but like, all right, people might take to it.
Taking a little turn to a little bit more of a serious note, without having to go into any details, You said you actually had therapy. You said you actually went through some tragic issues, some difficult times in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Without having to disclose too much, now that you went through the therapy, that you've had therapy sessions, however long it lasted, however deep they were, whatever that is, do you feel that it was one, I would assume it was beneficial, obviously, but more so, what was your takeaway from that? That, like, do you think everybody should get therapy whenever they go through things? Or was that more of like, okay, if I was more sound, like, my, you know, like, mindly sound about approaching things because of what I went through, I wouldn't have needed a therapist. And I can see that that's where therapy is helpful for people who don't approach things. And I kind of ask this in a weird, biased way because I have a good friend of mine, Chris. We talked about this. We all went through some shit. My family, my secondary family, we all went through some shit when we lost one of our brothers. You know, what we call our captain, the captain of our team. You know, and that's Chris's actual brother, and that was somebody who was like a brother to the rest of us. And Chris never got therapy. A lot of us never got therapy. And when we talked about it, we talked about, well, why? Well, how do you feel about that? Why didn't you get therapy? You know, you lost your brother. I lost a best friend who was like a brother. You were there. I was there. You were there. You saw this. You know, why? Why? And we were kind of trying to figure that out. You know, was it our egos? Was it we didn't think we needed it because of some reason? Everybody had a different reason, whatever that might be. You know, we were trying to figure it out. We kind of talked about it, and we all talked about it differently. Like, I didn't speak that with everyone, but I spoke about it with Chris very openly. I really didn't speak that with my brother, but I spoke about it with Chris. And it was a weird thing how we kind of both felt the same. And, like, you know, we don't want to insult anybody, but what we kind of said was, like, listen, if you can acknowledge what's wrong with you and you realize that and you understand, you know, how you have to address it and so on and so forth, and I know you got something to say over it because I know there's plenty of things that can be said against what I'm saying. We just thought that you didn't have to have somebody else remind you of it and tell you of it if you know that, you know, what you're going through, if you acknowledge it. It's like the same, you know, the first step to dealing with a problem is acknowledging that you have one. One of those things. That's kind of what we got to and so on and so forth. But that was never to, you know, talk down on people who get therapy or why get therapy or who should get therapy. I think a lot of it, mental focus and a little bit mental fortitude, the more you have it, the less reason you would need for therapy. The less you have it, you probably would need therapy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I making sense there?
No.
No?
But listen.
What? Oh, wow. Okay.
Nah, you making sense. I was just joking. I'm just saying therapy is just popular. Everybody's talking about it now because it's popular. That don't mean that everybody necessarily needs it, but then again, who is to say who don't need it?
Right.
Right? So that's all. It's a journey that each individual got to take on their own. You know, some people just feel like they don't need therapy. Who am I to force that on them? You know what I mean? Like, now, it could be stubbornness. It could be the same person that you think actually needs it. It could be a person that's low-key terrified of it. But if they don't physically want to take themselves there, ain't nothing nobody can do.
Right.
So those people, but if somebody's willing to get help or they would know that they could use some kind of help out of this matrix that they're in, those are the people that should seek therapy because sometimes the therapist could just help you get back on the bike and ride it yourself.
Do you still seek therapy?
No.
And when that last session occurred, did it occur you knowing that it was going to be the last session because you felt like, okay, I've been, whatever it was, I got the help, I got prepped, I had enough conversations, I now know that I need to think like this, approach like this, whatever. Did something like that hit you where you decided, all right, this is going to be my last session?
No, it was insurance. Nothing that deep.
Oh, shit. So if the shares are still kicking, you'd be,
yeah,
you still,
I'd have still been still rocking.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just, you know, but
I get
but,
that.
But even that though, like And you got to go through a lot of therapists to find the one that you think.
Right, who can vibe with you, or where you the energy you feel.
And how often do you do that? Like, who got time for that?
Yeah.
Going on therapy dates.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
screening therapists. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, who got that time? Yeah, that's true.
So a lot of people just take whoever they get. Mm-hmm. And they call that, all right, this is my person that you entrust in. And they may not necessarily be a fit for you. So it depends on how much work people willing to do for it. I just
one of my brothers, Damien, he's not part of this group. He knows the crew, but Damien's a veteran, and you know, he's been through some shit and he's seen some shit, you know, in Iraq. And he's had a couple of deployments and whatnot. You know, I don't know if he ever did, but I know he never sees a therapist. And I remember we had this same type of conversation. And again, I'm talking about he's seen some shit and been through some shit. And you know, when our relationship got really, really good, you know, really close, our brotherhood, this is years ago, you know, he was finally opening up. And the only reason he never opened up is just because I wasn't intruding. I wasn't being, you know, invasive. I wasn't trying to always ask him shit. Well, it started happening randomly on its own, organically. And then I was like, yo, you don't mind if I ask you questions about, you know, the war and what you've seen and all that, you know, personal shit? Nah, nigga, fire off. Go right ahead. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I still did it respectfully, but anyhow, at that point now, you know, I'm getting more intrigued and going deeper into certain things. And I remember when we talked about the therapist talk, you know, he broke it down deep and he was like, Wes, you know, how the fuck you think I feel when I'm the therapist I'm looking at who's supposed to talk to me, who's supposed to, you know, whatever, is 10, 15 years, 20 years younger than me? I know for sure they haven't had a single bullet graze through their head, pass by their head. They haven't lost a single soldier. They, you know, he can go down the list of shit that he thinks about when he looks at this therapist. Like, you know, I get it. It's like in his mind, I'm not saying it verbatim for him, but in his mind, he's in the realms of like, bitch, what have you been through? You think just because you studied the books and the school and you got the doctorals or the masters or whatever, that you're going to figure out how to tell me to, you know, shut this off and calm this down and try not this. Like, you don't think I know I got issues? You know, it was a real deep topic with him, and I understood, and I can only try to empathize with him as much as possible because I haven't been through what he's been through, the same way he hasn't been through what I've been through. But I got what he was saying when it comes to, like, people who think they're credible enough, or they think that, you know, that there's a lot they can tell you, but really have never experienced anywhere in the neighborhood of what they're gonna tell you about.
So you saying
that's tough to let somebody talk when they haven't been through nothing close to what they want to talk about. Right. You feel me?
But you saying then that the only person that could,
not the only, but I would prefer it. Yes.
Okay. So you prefer a person that
been through something that is closely related to PTSD, where it changed your life. You'll never forget this that happened to you.
And so that can't happen at 27.
Of course, of course it can. But what I'm saying is, when we had that talk, I see the validity behind that he couldn't connect with these people because knew that they hadn't. The chances of what you're saying that, oh, if it did happen to somebody young and that youngster happens to be the therapist in front of them, yes, 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 it's possible. But
right.
Chances are very, very slim. So it's hard for these veterans, and he's a young veteran. He's not old. He's fucking 2 years older than me. So it's not like that. But even then, you know, I get it. And I think it's like that when you talk to people in general, when you get deep in conversations and somebody starts saying certain things and you're just thinking like, what have you been through?
But hold on.
Especially if you've been through
They got VA therapists. What up with that?
That's what I'm saying. He didn't go to it. He hated it. He was always dodging it. They were fucking.
So then it ain't who the therapist is. It's him. His take on therapy. He don't think he needs it or wants it, or he feel like ain't nobody going to be equipped.
Yeah, that part. I wouldn't say the first two. I'll say the third, latter.
Nobody will be
equipped. Nobody's going to be equipped. Enough. Nobody's going to be equipped.
Enough to help him.
Yeah, especially at the time. Now he's, you know, I don't want to say he's past all that. You know, we can all use a good conversation, this and that, but he's at his best. You know, shout out to my brother Damien. I love you. He's at his best. He's got a great wife, and life is awesome. Just awesome. His kids, everything's awesome. So regardless of, I know he still has his dreams and his this and his that and the birthdays of the soldiers and all that stuff. Nah, he doesn't see any need for a therapist now at this point in life, no. But at the time, that's how he felt in regards to, they can't connect with me. I can't connect with them. It just can't happen because I know you haven't been through shit, and there's nothing inside of me that'll allow me to accept that. Yes, you studied the stuff. You saw your case studies. You did your clinicals. We all get that. We get that. No one's trying to devalue what you've gone through and the doctoral knowledge that you have. But you still didn't go through anything.
So,
and that holds a lot of value. That holds a lot of water when you actually go through something.
Wes,
that's all. That's all.
You trying to say then, your argument really is that you don't think therapy at all is
not true, bro. Yes.
Well, listen, because if what you're saying is true, then all it takes is for you, Damien, anybody else, me, to find that therapist that went through similar shit so that I could deem them worthy enough to tell me back, right? Who going to do that? Where you going to go to find that? How you going to find somebody that went through almost the same thing you went through? Like, that's not all it takes to understand somebody else.
You're correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. You're right on that, right? And without having to divulge into the details, you and I, prior to the podcast, had many deep conversations, and we went in many deep levels that neither one of us knew about anything.
Right.
And with that said, I just tend to think, wow, even though I already connected with you on the first podcast, and because of the vibes and the shit talking and having fun and, you know, comedians and all that bullshit, it was even more different this time, because it's like, wow, we there's a lot of things that we share in common. There's a lot of things that we can talk about, because we've been there, done that, went around the block with it. And that immediately, I think, connected us, where it's like, okay, well, whether you gave me some feedback or some suggestions, or I did the same, it's going to be way more well-received, because you're like, oh, okay, well, you've been in those shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just different. Now, that doesn't mean that you're still going to give me the best advice, or that I should, you know, run with what you tell me. I understand that. And that's where I'm going to say it, you know, as boldly as I can. That's where doctors are different. They've taught themselves to be unbiased. They've taught themselves to, hey, even though I haven't been through it, or I might feel bad for this person, whatever, they're trying to go through the steps that they've deemed accurate to try to help somebody get over something, and so on and so forth. I understand that. I'm not talking down on therapy or psychology. I hate when psychiatrists are throwing medicine at you so fucking quick, but I don't even want to get into that. I just think that if we taught ourselves to be mentally tougher, let's just say that generally, if we taught ourselves, if society, this has nothing to do with gender or any bullshit going on out there that's so popular on social media, I'm just meaning in general, if we taught ourselves to be mentally tougher, I just think we'd be in a better place. There'll be less.
But that sounds so vague. What that mean?
Meaning, like, to believe in your thoughts in regards to, like, addressing yourself before you rely on somebody else to do it for you. There's many different ways to. There's steps to it, but
okay,
we don't teach ourselves to do that. We teach ourselves to rely on somebody else. Think about that, Gene. We do.
Listen. I'm not saying that we don't. But how does a person know that they don't need somebody else?
Well, I'm not even saying they don't need anybody. What I'm just saying is, we need to, it's kind of like when you're raising kids, you don't want to, okay, when a kid falls and gets hurt and typically most parents, especially the mother, immediately runs right to him, right. And we all think, you know, you don't want to teach a kid that. You just taught that kid because it is a developmental phase where I made this noise after I felt this pain and I got the comfort I was looking for. And that's going to follow forever if you don't nip it in the butt. So don't wait till 4, 5, 6 years, 10 years, a teenager. Right. You fucked up. You got to do it. So if we would focus more as a society, parentally, whatever you want to call it, into teaching mental fortitude, teaching mental toughness of how to, you know, the whatever, I think we'd be in a better place where there'll be less people relying on therapy.
Yo,
that's all. That's all. That's all.
Listen, that's a dope and very valid point and idea. 100%. Right. But look at some of the parents that are left with that responsibility. They don't even got it in themselves to
yes, I know,
to put that on to
a
kid.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So now the kid is lost, because now the kid is only following whatever guardian he got in front of him.
So in other words, the system, the program was broke a few links ago, several links ago. Yeah. Yes, right? But is it fixable? I'm just saying, talking about it and trying to encourage people to do it, I just think it helps a little bit more at a time. You know, a little bit more at a time. You know, I don't have kids. So I told this, I went to a kid party. I thought it was an adult party. My one of my clients, he canceled on me at the last minute. He told me why. He was helping his best friend do a caja china, do a pork fry, a Cuban thing to do, right? So he said he couldn't get out of there in time to come train. He apologized. He goes, man, let me make it up to you. Come over here. Come have some drinks. Get some good food, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? Cool. Let me go bust a workout. I'll go over there. So I did that. I get over there. It's a kid party. I'm like, fuck, whatever. It is what it is. We're going to do adult shit. So I'm sitting with a bunch of parents. Single, kidless. I'm sitting with a bunch of parents. All these parents were loving the moment that they had away from their kids. Drinking on some beer with some good food, and none of these kids are bothering them. And I'm sitting there with them, and of course, here come the piercing questions. You don't have any kids? Well, if you don't mind me asking, why not?
You don't mind me asking, what you doing here?
Yeah, well, so I've already practiced. I've been in this situation so many times. I'm 46, so I always go in and out of this parental, you know, disputes, and I learned this, and I told them, I said, hey, listen, guys, I know better than to try to tell a parent anything about parenting, especially when I'm not a parent. I'm not trying to go there with none of y'all. I don't want to talk shit about kids. So why have I been quiet? Why this and that? Because y'all talking parental shit. And who am I to tell any one of y'all what to do or why this or why that? Because I don't have a kid. They laughed it off and they're like, no, I get that. And they plugged in that they have a friend and this and that. And they're like, why? What do you think we can do differently? I'm like, nah, see, you setting it up. It isn't, no. And then my homeboy, his wife, and they know that we're both very blunt. She goes, I'm not going to lie to you, Wes. I kind of lose it sometimes with my kids, you know? When the minute they act up too much, this and that, I fucking flip on them. And I'm like, motherfuckers, da 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 da. And then my husband gets mad at me and he puts me in my place like, yo, you need to chill. Like, you two. But he doesn't understand. Like, I've been working all day and I come home and these kids, this and that. He doesn't go through that. I go through that. And I'm just looking at her like, damn, how do I answer this? You know what I mean? Because it's either you can do things differently or you can't, but the situation is what it is. I know when to say the right things, man. I don't want to, you know.
So what you said?
I stayed quiet.
Oh.
I stayed quiet and I'm like, listen, all I can tell you is, you know, you're the mom. When these kids come up to you the way they do in ñoño, what I call ñoño form, ñoño is like a goo goo gaga form. Like, mom, can you know, even though they talk with a deep voice, Gene, dad, can you, when you, whoa, don't go soft on me. If you want to ask me something, just ask me something with the right voice. You ain't got to go all soft on me. I don't like that. I don't like that with a girl. I don't like that with nobody. The kids were doing that while we were talking, and it happened right in the middle of this conversation, and the kids walked away. And I was like, well, that there's an example. And they all started laughing. I'm like, why did you do this, this, and that? When he came up, and he was like, goo, 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 gaga. She's like, yeah, you're right. I got to work on that.
Well, I mean, parents lie. Let's just say that, because parents will front like they mad at their kids. But they'll do anything for their kids. Like I see some badass kids with parents who be wanting to, you know, chastise, but like they can't, cause like, you know, I understand. I'm a parent. I understand.
What's up, you crazy people out there? Let me interrupt this podcast really quick just to give you a reminder. If you really like the gear that I'm rocking and you're a proud Black Sheep yourself, make sure you go check out blacksheepapparel.shop where you can get all the dopest gear to help remind the world that you truly are a proud Black Sheep. We got caps, t-shirts, tank tops, shorts, sweaters, hoodies. I mean, you name it, we got it on there. Make sure you go show some love, show your support, and represent what you really are. Go to blacksheepapparel.shop. Now back to the podcast. You know, I truly love the concept of Hey Doc, because I, you know, that's something that I do, and I know obviously I'm being biased. I try to be my own doctor. I think we all do to an extent, but like you were saying earlier, I'm my toughest critic, you know what I'm saying? So I come at myself hard. So that's when I talk to myself, I am role-playing. I am like, you know, what would a doctor tell me? What would an entrepreneur tell me if I'm going to, you know, ask the advice of somebody? But yeah, I can't.
But you also coming from that, like that David Goggins approach,
That's true.
You know what I mean? Some people only listen to that, you know, or some people, they like the Google Gaga soft talk shit.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's so true.
I guess it depends on who you find that's enough that will motivate your type. You know what I mean? But yeah, so but the Haydock thing, like, it's a play on not necessarily people needing a therapist, because not, like I said, not every therapist is going to work for you. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't out there, like, promoting, like, because I don't do it enough for me to be promoting it like that. But I know it's not a bad thing for me the few times that I did do it. But what I'm saying is that whole Haydock series that I'm doing online is more about the play is, like, you could be, look at it as somebody talking to a therapist, somebody talking to himself, because that's what I'm technically doing.
Right.
Right? Somebody talking to whoever they think is out there that's listening. Whatever, however you conceptualize therapy, whether it be private, with the therapist, with God, with whomever, whatever that works for you, that's what you need to use and focus on. Mm-hmm. So it don't got to be somebody with insurance that you pay for to go sit on the couch for 45 minutes. You know what I mean? It could be your homie.
So that's where I wanted to go to earlier when we were talking about it. Do you believe it could?
Yeah.
You already covered that. You do. Yeah, so it could be a good friend. It might even be a coworker who's sounded, you know, who's just there, mind, you know, he's mindly sounded and can hear you out without trying to be biased and give you some great advice.
I think anybody, so this whole thing is everybody's on this journey. Everybody's riding their bike, right? Everybody's on their own path. You ride your own bike. So you need somebody, anybody, if it's not yourself, that can whisper in your ear, like, yo, you're getting off track. And then just like,
try to bring you back.
Figuratively move you back on the track so your bike is going straight. Sometimes we can't see. We'll turn and we turn it.
Right.
We turn the whole bike because we just look this way. And somebody close to us will be like, yo, you know what I mean? So not too many times we find people in our personal lives that could do that. So then we go out and seek it in a therapist or in a pastor or whatever it is that we use. But something or somebody got to help get us back on track if we ain't able to do it on our own.
Do you think that same topic that we're discussing is affecting the dating game nowadays? Because the dating game, it really is. It's not about a hot topic. It really is what it is. The stats are out. The numbers are out. The studies are out. The research is out. And people are dating less. People are conceiving less. People are getting married less. Divorces are, I think, just over 50%. They're like 56, somewhere around there.
But that's the easy answer.
Okay.
Bitches are crazy.
Fuck, here we go. Fuck, here we go.
Listen,
are you putting this blame on the women? Come on now. You're clowning.
I was just being funny, but
do you think they're putting a little bit too much pressure on us? Like for real, do you think women are putting too much pressure on? Do you think women are, they're definitely not, we all take certain blame. And I'm gonna put myself in there just because I'm a goddamn man, okay? But if we're gonna try to divide the blame as to why we're at where we're at, without going into details, because this is all fresh, and like I was just mentioning, the studies and the research has been done, do you personally think that females are the bigger reason as to why the dating game is fucked up right now?
Not at all.
No?
Not at all.
So what do you think is going on?
I think personal accountability is what is fucking up the game. So it don't matter what gender that is.
No one wants to be accountable.
Nobody wants to be accountable. So it's not, I can't put it on women. I can't put it on dudes. There's nobody that needs to fix their shit so that it can be better for the other gender. Nah, it ain't none of that. It's personal accountability that a lot of people are not taking.
Gene, I agree with that, but that sounds a little bit more like, I don't know.
Say it. What it sound like?
That's too broad for me. Right, because being accountable is being accountable, but why aren't more dates happening? Why aren't people dating more? We got to keep going. We got to get as far as we can into the root of it. So why aren't people having more attempts? In order to have an attempt to vibe with somebody and see whether or not there's somebody that you want to invest more time in or can connect with in a chemistry way, in the energy ways we were talking about earlier, you have to have some type of personal encounter, which basically we're describing as a date. Why aren't people attempting more dates nowadays, whether young generation, you know, mid-20s or 30s, why aren't people dating more? Why do you think that is? Don't give me that accountability shit. Give me something better than that.
Nah, well, that's what I was giving because that's part of it. Like, no, and that accountability was to answer the question as to which gender or females
might be affecting it
right,
more.
Right, that's what that answer was about.
Okay.
But why we not dating more, I don't know. I think a lot of people are just traumatized from some of the dates they've been on, some of the relationships they've been in. Some people ain't been able to rebound from them shits.
PTSD, you know what I mean? from dating or having horrible dates.
And so back to what you were saying about people being softer nowadays, that's where it's carrying in. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because now people ain't even, and I'm not even calling, I don't even want to just call it soft. I'm saying a lot of people, men and women, ain't emotionally strong enough to pull themselves out of the quicksand that is slowly love and yeah. relationships. Mm, so a lot of people, and because we got access to so many things, just sitting in your crib on your phone, who needs to go outside?
Right. So that is what I want to piggyback. To me, and I'm no expert, obviously. And you know, if you sit back and you pay attention to it, I think this speaks enough volume all on its own. To me, the biggest thing that's affected the dating game is simply that there's a false sense of many options out there. And the false sense comes from social media. So all these likes, all these DMs that happen behind closed doors for women and men, of course women get 10 times more than what men do. This gives people a false sense of, man, I got options for days. I got options for days because when I post, I got at least 100 likes, 500 likes. I get this. So now there's like, I don't got to put up with anybody's shit when I know I have another option.
But here's the thing. Those are virtual options.
No, because you're right up until they become real. So, right,
but
okay, so if enough DMs come from, right now I'm going to point a finger at the females. If a female's getting mad DMs, right, she's a seven, but you know, there's simps and just bust ass, you know, ducks out there who are making her feel like a fucking 11 mm-hmm. all the time, offering her money, sending her money without ever fucking anything. Now, this bitch is on cloud nine. Get it? I would be too if I had a bunch of, you know, heifers doing that for me. But now she has a false sense of it. But she still wants love. She still wants to date. That's something that happens in her private life. So she goes on a date. He's not perfect. He's this. He's missing that. Whatever the fuck it is, right away, somewhere in the back of her mind, she's going to be like, I just got $1,000 sent to me a week ago. I have 100 DMs right now. And out of that 100, 10 of them are good looking dudes who are models and they have boats and yachts. And you know what I mean? There's so many options there. This date, if it didn't go perfect, fuck that. I got another option over here. That is what, to me, is what's hurting society when it comes to socializing and dating.
Who the fuck is sitting that long with a chick like that?
Well, then she won't give him the opportunity to go past one date.
Oh,
that's the thing.
I don't need more than one date if that's
to realize that. Yeah, exactly. But here's the sad part. Now that dude, because more than likely he paid, there went $200-$400 because he was just swinging for the fences. Thought he had a little vibe going on. Mm-hmm. Thought, you know, she's mad cool. I don't care that she, you know, she's pretty and she's got 20,000 followers. I think that we're vibing. I think that, you know, she really digs me. Bullshit. There's so many more options out there. You feel me? I think that's hurting the game. That's just an opinion, but the stats are that the game is definitely hurting. People are not dating as often. Kids are being born at a slower rate. We're actually, even though we think we're
all... That ain't a bad thing.
I know, right? You think we're overpopulated, right?
That ain't a bad thing.
Elon Musk said that according to the rate of death and birth and all that bullshit, we're actually on the lower end. We're actually going on the bad end. We're not going over. We're going under. Put that on Elon Musk.
That's not a bad thing, man. We got a lot of people that shouldn't be having kids.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do definitely agree with that.
Man-ass kids out there.
Yeah.
Yo, I got a Ring camera on my door, right?
Oh, Lord, you see it all.
I just happen to get an alert. These kids out of school, just for nothing, just came to my door and just banged it one time and then ran, but I saw it clearly. So I see the kids running, so I pull up on the block. Just to be the old man grumpy dude, I just sat outside in front of my door, and now the kids are shook. Now the boy don't want to come back down the block. Mm. I kind of wanted to laugh about it just to be like, aha, I saw you.
Right.
Well, these kids, they, you know, ain't got no home training. They're out there just doing shit for shits and giggles.
Well, you never did any kind of wild shit like that when you were young? Especially coming from New York?
I did. I did stupid shit, I guess.
I did horrible shit.
Nah, I didn't get to horrible. I ain't start doing dumb shit till I got older.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. I guess because I know I did a lot of dumb shit. You know, even when I see the examples that you're talking about, and again, going referring back to my homeboy Chris, same thing. He'll post it on our chat when his stepdaughter was dating a new boyfriend, and they're in their 14s, 15s, and there's like little hood beef or whatever the fuck. And then out of nowhere, here comes like three or four little delinquents. They kicked his door. They threw shit, and it's all on camera. And then he'll post it. He'll tell us, like, look at these little punk ass. You know, it's wild, but at least you got the Ring door camera, you know, nowadays, you know, to help you try to, like.
I love that shit.
If you catch him, you know the face. You put him on blast early. If not, they didn't keep getting away with it. When we were younger, you can get away with it because there wasn't no cameras. Right. There wasn't cameras like that back then. So you can kick a door down or do some stupid shit. And all it was a dumbass challenge. It was a fucking dare. Imagine the dumbass shit that we did over a dare.
Come on. You know how many dudes is in jail right now because of dares?
And then you had double dare, like if it was just, you know, that, like, much more.
The amount of crimes that people have committed because off a dare.
Right. It's wild, man. You know, there's a lot of good behind the social media wild shit that has, you know, technology, the way it's advanced and what it's done for us in regards to communication and networking and entrepreneurship and business opportunities. And, you know, there's a lot of great stuff, you know, reaching out to the masses from your phone and your nobody, going viral and what it can do for you. All that are just immense pros. But the cons of this falsehood, this, you know, people believing that they're celebrities, they're untouchable, that they can pull these pranks on people, like, because, you know, it's just a prank that they, you know, just all that wild shit that they do, you know, what you call do for the gram, what you, you know, do it for the vibe. That's just wild.
I don't trip about that because ain't nothing going to change it.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Like, I agree, yeah.
Like, I don't give it no oxygen because that shit will stress you out if you watch
too much energy. Yeah.
Shit, you know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Like, I like the fact that some of these videos be coming up blurred at first scene.
But yeah, I'd say
content. Like, yo, be easy before you watch this. I skip right past that. I don't need that shit in my life.
It, whatever it is, whether it's some gory shit or some violent cop this or whatever, it's negativity. That's why they're blurring it. So, of course, if you have that negative image in your head, it's going to affect you.
I don't need it forced upon me. Like, we got to live it on a daily.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need it. So I like that they put that on because I just skip right past it. And I'm not saying that I need, like, I watch what I want to watch. I watch my UFC when I want it. Like, you know what I'm saying? If I need my hint of fighting or getting out, you know, aggression, whatever, I watch the shit that I want to watch. Sports is good for that or whatever. But, now, that's my preference, watching that shit over watching dudes jumping an old man.
So can I assume that you don't watch news too tough?
Like, I do when it's on. Like, if somebody put it on, I watch it. And I sit there faithfully and watch it. But I don't turn it on. I just don't turn the TV on.
You don't look for it. But if it's there, you'll let it grab you.
Yeah. I don't chip off it. It don't matter the channel either. Like, if somebody's watching, I'll take somebody's perspective. But I don't turn the TV on. Because TV just don't do it for me no more. Like,
it's changed, man. That game has changed. You know, everything about.
I just got other shit to do.
As well. Speaking of other shit to do, bro, let's talk about that real quick. You're performing tonight.
Yep.
Pinecrest, tell us.
The Comedy Inn. One of the dopest rooms in Florida, South Florida for sure. The Comedy Inn, invite only.
Nice.
It's a pretty dope setup, yeah.
Pinecrest is doing it like that, yeah, huh? Invite only. Mm-hmm. Can't so just
gotta,
pop
you,
up.
So you got to get on the list? Yeah, because you won't even know what comics is going to be on. It's kind of dope. But they've been doing it for like 7 years.
That's what's up. I love that you're staying active with that. But Hey Doc is where it's at. And you told me something about this.
I got this for you, son.
Look at this beauty right here.
This is one of my first, you know, items of merch.
Okay.
For this merch new series.
Damn, I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Put that in the camera. Hey, Doc, at Gene Hardy.
Yep.
Y'all take a look at that. So people can buy this. People can order this. People can go to the site.
So that's what I'm getting on now. Just got some of the prototypes. And so I sell it live. But right now we're working on the online stuff. So that's coming.
So, okay. So live right now. And then the online stuff is coming. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. And then the Hey Doc series. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. You haven't started a YouTube series of it yet. It's been
I did start it. I just ain't been pushing that. That's what I'm working on now.
So, yeah, we got to get rocked with that for sure, okay. Because
But don't forget, I'm an old man. Like, this grown man shit trying to get, you know.
Acclimated
to the social media shit. But I take on all suggestions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're open to that. You definitely, you've been somebody who's always communicated with the fans and one who vibes them. Matter of fact, the first time that I stumbled upon you was, shout out to Caballo, to Marcos. You were the host for his
the show.
Yeah, for the show that day.
So
you were the one who was always introducing who was going to perform. And, you know, I didn't, I consider that a host. I remember I told Caballo, I told my friends, you know, after the whole show was over, I was like, yo, whoever that fucking black dude was, the host, like he stole the show. Like he was fucking killing it. And I remember eventually I told Caballo that when we were playing poker, I was like, hey, be careful putting that guy as the host because he almost stole it from you. He's like, oh, yeah, Gene, he's really good. I was like, no, he was awesome. He was crowd working. He was this, he was that. It was dope. And, you know, and that's when we eventually had our first podcast. But not much has changed about you, brother. You still that dude. You know, I love that you still doing the comedy. You staying live with it. I love the whole Hey Doc thing. I'm honored and privileged to get that. I appreciate it. You guys show your support. Make sure you follow Gene Harding. At Gene Harding, at Gene Harding, right there on the dot, right there, and you can also follow the series. The Hey Doc is hilarious. The guy's going viral more and more with these videos. You definitely want to tune in on that. And you perform tonight at Pinecrest. What's it called again?
At the Comedy Inn.
The Comedy Inn. Shout out to the Comedy Inn here in Pinecrest. First time coming down there this far south to perform?
Nah, I'm a vet down here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been down here. Back when the Miami Improv, you know, they had that Coconut Grove one.
Yeah, that's right. Right, yeah, over there in the little, go down there, yeah. Oh, it was right before you go down into Oxygen and all that. Yeah. All the old heads are going to remember that part right there. Gene, I can't wait to have you back again, brother. Listen, man, I love having people like you on. Love to talk about life. Love to clown. Love to do all that shit, catch up all the time. So anybody watching, paying attention, you're going to see Gene back again. It's always a privilege and it's always fun, man. I appreciate you, my brother. Have a great night tonight. Kill it like I know you're going to kill
it.
I'll be right there watching, obviously. And for all of you guys, make sure you tune in. Follow Gene Harding at Gene Harding, G-E-N-E Harding, H-A-R-D-I-N-G.
Yep.
Instagram, everything else you can follow right there through his account. Gene, I love you, brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you, man.
Peace, man. Thank you, man. Guys, have a great one. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.